This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Hey, coming up at the bottom of the hour, our Mariners insider Shannon Dreher will join us. We'll get her take on what's going on with Jared Kelnick. How's Kikuchi's knee looking? Ugh. That was kind of a scary moment in that game. It ended up being a pretty solid series. Listen, when you get in, you get on the road, you got a 4-game series, you're going for the split. That's the goal. You want to win it, of course, but the goal is to split. That's what they did.
Yeah.
But there were some definite moments of you know, concern or disappointment, whether we're talking about bullpen or talking about starters, what have you. But the Kikuchi thing, man, the replay looked so bad because it looked like, did he blow his knee out? The way he landed so awkwardly, and then when he was being helped off the field, he didn't move the leg. I mean, he wasn't even limping. He was just flat not moving it. So I was like, oh, man, that looks bad, the way he's writhing around, and now it looks like the word is bone bruise, like took it off the kneecap, which I'm sure hurt like hell.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, serious damage, it looks like crisis averted.
Well, I felt kind of bad because at first I was like, wow, he looks like he's writhing in pain.
Didn't it look like he landed weird? Like the
but
knee
that
twisted?
Was the part I thought is like, oh, maybe it's because his knee twisted when he went down.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird because then Godoy runs over and gets the ricochet and throws it like 20 feet over the first baseman's head.
Yeah, he panicked.
And then he panicked. And then he fell down. So I was like, what the heck is going on?
They're dropping like flies out there.
Yeah, it was wild. But, I mean, overall, and it's too bad because, yeah, Kikuchi has been going along great. I mean, I'm hoping he doesn't have to spend any time, you know, on the IL or anything like that. But
how many more losses can they sustain?
I know.
In terms of injuries, it's just enough already.
Well, we were talking today, and Lefko brought up the fact that, so Shed Long is going to be activated here. And, this will be the 49th player for the Mariners this year. And I was just looking at some of, you know, the other teams, and I couldn't find anybody with more than 45. So, I mean, they've been – and, you know, the Mets have 45 this year.
And they played, what, 61 games? Is that where they're at?
Yeah. And I was just looking around the division. You know, the A's have had 37 players. The Angels have had 45. So – Astros 39, Texas 37. So, yeah, there have been lots of injuries, lots of bad luck, things going on. It always seems worse, I think, than it is. And by way of comparison, you know, France got hit over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Right in the
armor.
Right in the where the pad goes.
Yeah.
And, my wife and I were watching it, and she's like, oh, that looks like it hurt. I'm like, no, he's got a pad there for it.
Yeah.
Specifically. But. Yeah. I was thinking, geez, he's got to get hit more than anybody in Major League Baseball. It just seems like it.
Except for Canna.
And then I pulled up Canna. Canna's got twice as many.
That's because the opposing pitchers don't like him.
They don't like him. But he's been hit 12 times, Canna has.
Yeah.
And, you know, France only 6. But it just seems like, you know, and same thing with, and that was kind of interesting going through. I mean, nobody has 49 as far as the number of players that they've had on their roster or on the field this year. But you've got a fair number of, you know, Milwaukee, the Mets, Pittsburgh, 45, 44. So it's pretty close. It's not as bad as it seems, but it seems like they are dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm.
There were some,
some good thing. There was a lot of good and bad.
It was.
In what happened to this.
Yeah.
Extremes.
Exactly. I thought so, too. I just thought there were some really. My favorite moment, I think, of the entire weekend was Murphy throwing to Will Vest,
yeah,
to get the base runner from third. I think it was a wild pitch that got away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there were so many things. I watched that play 20 times because I just thought, first of all, Murphy just threw it to a spot. You know, he was
leading
on
a receiver.
The run. Exactly. Well, it was like, and then after he threw it, he kind of backpedaled watching it like you would see like in the NBA.
Where they shoot it and start backing it like it.
Yeah. The guy throws
like nothing but net.
An assist or whatever. And then Vest, it was really a weird angle on how he caught the ball and swiped the tag. I mean, he was kind of in no man's land where, and then the other thing that just cracked me up, if you go back and look at it, he's down on all fours, Will Vest is. Mm. He starts celebrating and pumping his fist before he gets to the up up on 2 feet.
Yeah.
And he's like scrambling and pumping his fist. And it was just an awesome moment. But I just thought that was such a great play. And it was just fun to watch. So, but then later on, the bad moment, you've got Seager. No, it goes Haniger, Seager, and France. The bases are loaded.
No outs.
And no outs. And you go down 1-2-3.
You can't push across a run.
And they lose 3-2.
That was maddening.
Oh,
that was maddening. That was like you've not even a sack fly, not even grounding into a double play, but plates a run. I mean,
yeah.
Something.
Right.
Something. You got, I mean, you couldn't pick a better spot in your order to come up in
right.
that situation. Who else would you have wanted up? Those are the guys.
Those are the three.
It was that felt like an absolute anomaly. Like that would happen once every 30 times. I know everybody's going to say, no, it's the Mariners. It would happen every time. No.
Yeah.
With those guys, come on. Come on. Somebody's going to hit a fly ball for a sack fly to push across a run. Somebody's going
right.
to at least hit into a double play where they're going to go for the two outs but give up that run. Something.
Yeah.
The ball's going to be put into play to play at least one run with no outs. That was weird. That was almost – it was almost too strange for me to get that. I mean, I was certainly frustrated, but I was like kind of more shocked. Like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, I had it recorded because I was like 10 minutes behind, and I ran it back twice to make sure I saw what I saw. Like, no, wait, come on. They score a run here, right?
Yeah, no, there was already an out, right? There was already a two out. No, nope.
Yeah, I mean, so they lose 3-2. And I mean, that was situation. And just like you said, I mean, I guess if you picked that the part of the lineup that they had that night, that's exactly who you'd go with.
Well, and maybe just based on this series, you'd sub out one of those guys, probably Seager, because he's still been scuffling, for J.P. Crawford, who's been on fire. I mean, you are getting production out of that leadoff spot since you put him there. And in the series, he went 7-for-13 in the series. He hit over 500 in the series, and he's finally squaring the ball up.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about some of his hits, like it didn't ever seem like he was making, like, squaring the ball up. He was, yeah, some were getting through here or there, or flare here or there, but it didn't sound like he was hitting the ball hard.
Yeah, remember we talked to Divish, and he said all spring he did not hit the ball hard.
Yeah, he said he's hit, like, three balls hard, whether they were outs or hits, just squaring up three balls. And
but he hit it hard.
That changed in a big way. RBI double, top of the seventh. This is what that sounded like.
The payoff. Swing, and this is roped into right field. J.P. Crawford with a base hit off the base of the wall. He stands up at second base. J.P. Crawford is just crushing baseballs recently. He drives home Donovan Walton, and the Mariners do get a little bit of insurance. It's now 4-1 Mariners with two outs in the seventh.
He had five doubles in the series.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. You know, five RBIs, a home run, only one strikeout. Three walks, so yeah, it was nice to see. And you know, he's kind of lean. He's very athletic. I love watching him in the field, but I'm like, I'm not sure if his body is built to hit for power.
Yeah, he's not a power hitter.
He was hitting it hard.
Yeah, I mean he's a line drive hitter. He's doing what he's sort of built. You talk about his build. He's a doubles guy. Yeah, he's gonna hit one out here and there, but for the most part, you're not looking for that kind of damage out of him. He's that line drive hitter. You want him to be that line drive hitter who's a doubles guy. He's a problem when he's on the base paths.
Yeah.
So, and you see whether he walks or he gets on via hit, doesn't matter. He becomes problematic for the pitcher. He's a threat to steal. And coupled with his defense, and I know I think he committed his sixth there of the season over the weekend, but he's saving more runs than he's costing you defense. He is a very good defensive shortstop. Very good.
Yeah, and are they still first in Major League Baseball turning double plays?
Think so.
Yeah,
as
they
far
were.
As I know they were going certainly
time.
Going into the weekend, but
yeah.
Really cool to see him hitting. Just
yeah.
to see getting production out of the leadoff spot because of what we talked about with Kelnick. Obviously, you weren't getting anything, so he's giving you production at the top of the lineup, and he's at least through this series just on fire. I don't expect him to bat over 500 continually, but he seems he's got a different level of confidence. I don't know if he's changed anything mechanically, or if it's just a confidence thing, or he's found his time, what have you, but. He's looked really good.
Yeah.
Even before the series, he was hitting. Not at that level, but he's picked up the pace. So seeing him doing what he's doing at the plate is a bit of a relief because we talked about, you know, all these shortstops that are going to be free agents. And should the Mariners be looking at it? I'm not saying they shouldn't. They still may look at some of these guys, whether you're talking about Correa or Baez or any of these, you know, well-known Corey Seager, any of these guys that are out there. They may still do that, but he's making it hopefully a tougher decision. Yeah. You don't want it to be a hole where you're going, you got to do something. You don't want to have that feeling like he's an automatic out at the plate, which at times he's felt like. That is not the case now. And what a great series for him. And Jake Fraley, how about Jake Fraley? Give him credit. I know I ripped on his arm, but
yeah.
up at the plate, I mean, a three-run, he drove in seven runs with two swings of the bat.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, in the Grand Slam, and that was my bright moment, obviously, from that night, from Saturday night, as my wife and I were dog-sitting. Never dog sat before.
You don't seem like a dog sit kind of guy. Somebody would come to you and say, hey, Dave, I'm going to be out of town for the weekend. Can you watch my dog? You don't seem like that guy.
Well, no, I'm not, but I'm married to somebody that is.
Ah.
Okay. So
so it's by proxy.
No, we have good friends that they had a couple dogs. So we went over there and watched the Mariner game.
Did you bring Hoover?
Took Hoover over there. Yeah.
They're buddies.
Great. Yeah, and the other dog, they got along great. But then Hoover started getting into his toys and grabbing the bones that he had.
Crossing lines.
The other dog wasn't very comfortable with that, but... ordered some pizza and watched the game, and it was great. And, you know, my wife's sitting there asking me all these questions about baseball, and I'm like, wow, I actually feel like a baseball expert right now.
Yeah.
I am compared to her, that's for sure. No, but I was, watching Fraley. I think he was 0-2. I think he was down 0-2 in the count, and then he took one, and then he hit the grand slam. And it was just, I mean, he kind of had to go down and away to get it. But, you know, you look at his average, not great. I think it's up above 200 now, but his on-base percentage, because I think he had a walk that night as well, is at 500.
It's ridiculous.
On-base percentage, 500.
The number of walks for that guy.
Well, and the thing was, you know, it was just all about his walks. But then, you know, he shows he's got some power there. So maybe not a great arm in the outfield, or maybe he just wasn't confident in that throw that we witnessed the other night. But, you know, he's a scrappy player. It seems like every time you look at him, he's got dirt and a hole in his uniform, and he's just a scrappy dude, and loved that moment. But then the Kikuchi thing happens, you know, and I'm just like, oh, geez, here we go again.
Now, and I know, you know, people have joked, and somebody was texting in saying Danny said he was overreacting, or he's dramatic, or what have you. Listen, I don't, outside of soccer in the NBA, I don't question people's injuries, because you don't know what it feels like. You may have experienced something similar. You've been hit with something, or you've been tackled a certain way, or fallen a certain way. That doesn't mean you're experiencing the same level of pain. I'm not going to say he wasn't really hurt in that much pain. Maybe in the moment it was excruciating. I've got no idea. So I'm not going to call him out for that. I'm just glad that it sounds like, at least, and we haven't gotten any definitive answers that, oh yeah, he's going to make his next start. At least I haven't seen it yet. He's not a guy who's always, he's not Big Ben out there, always dealing, oh, I'm always overcoming. I'm a grinder. I'm always overcoming.
Oh, Big Ben likes being hurt.
Oh, he loves to be the guy who overcomes the adversity.
And when there's really not anything in the first place.
Nothing ever stops me. Oh, he's limping. Yeah. Oh, man, what a tough guy. You know, I think he really, really loves that sort of attention for being a gamer. He's just going to, you're going to have to drag him off the field. Kikuchi's never shown anything like that. I'm going to give him credit and say, yeah, that really hurt like hell. And maybe once it calmed down and swelling went down, or ice or what have you, that maybe it wasn't nearly as bad as it looked. But I don't know. When you saw it, were you thinking, all right, is this a soccer move? Are they going to get the magic spray out of the dugout, spray it, and then he's going to go sprinting off the field?
Well, I got a text from Danny, and I said, you know, I'm trying to not be that guy. I don't want to be the grouchy old guy that –
rub some dirt on
what's
it.
He doing? You know, he was covering his face and everything. And I was telling the story that my kids used to cry when they would get hurt. And I'm like, why are you crying? It's not sad. If anything, you should be angry.
Yeah.
And so now my kids are like, you know, cursing when they get hurt. That's good parenting right there.
But that's how I handle it, too. A lot of expletives.
I don't care who you are. Yeah. I mean, that's my wife, too. I mean, every time you hit your head, you know.
Yeah.
But everybody reacts differently. You know, I would just say Dennis Smith, who I thought was the hardest hitter in the NFL, knocked himself unconscious on my right knee in Candlestick Park, and it hurt. Oh, man. I blew everything out, you know, ACL, you know, lateral meniscus, everything. And I remember looking at it on film because it really hurt. And then I was like, oh, no wonder, because my leg just went.
Right.
But my first reaction, I just held my breath, and then when the trainers came, I said, get me the bleep off the field. I just hated any time somebody laid on the field. And I always promised my mom and dad that, you know, I would get up and not, and on that play, they went to a commercial break with me still on the ground, and I still feel bad for that. So, yeah, everybody's different. Everybody's going to react differently. He was pretty, a fair amount of drama, you know, but
maybe it really
I'm sure
hurt,
it hurt.
Man. I mean, the 253 pointing out the sound was louder off of his leg than it was off the bat. Yeah, it hurt.
You think so?
It did make a loud sound.
Well,
I mean,
Danny was saying it
how...
skipped off the ground. Did that ball skip off the ground?
I don't think it did. I'd have to go back and watch it. I'm not going to say it with 100% certainty, but
all
it
I
came
know
back
is...
at a really rapid pace. And if you're just going ball on bone, there's no padding there. And if it hit him in the kneecap or the shin, whatever. I mean, think about how much it hurts when you stub your toe into the corner of a bed or something. You're just like, ow, son of a bleep, dang, blah, blah. I mean, little things can hurt.
Or pushing a golf cart.
What's
remember
that?
I did that down in Palm Springs.
Oh, yeah.
Stubbed my toe.
Yeah,
oh.
I mean, little things that you go, oh, you stubbed your toe? Are you okay? You know, I mean, it's just things you wouldn't think would hurt. And that's one I would think.
Kneecap. Kneecap's painful.
Yeah. And that's a hard ball coming off a bat at over 100 miles an hour. I'm going to give him credit and say, you know what? It did hurt that bad. But I was more concerned, again, with the way he landed. I thought, oh, man, he tore something.
Well, that's what I thought, too, for sure. So the good news is he has rubber ligaments there, it looks like, because the way his knee bended.
It looked awkward.
It was kind of like Russ. You know, when Russ had that one tackle against the Niners, that it was a long time ago, 2017, I think, that year he got hurt. It just like I looked at it and went, oh, that's a knee injury. And it just wasn't. So, you know, that's the good news for Kikuchi. But all I know is – the thing that stood out to me was he's been great, and we really need him, and he's hurt. You know, and I'm hoping that it's not for too long.
What was your take on Logan Gilbert? Gets his first win, which is awesome. Young guy, first win, even though we've really, in this day and age, devalued wins and losses when it comes to pitchers, which I think rightfully so. That's one area of it, you know, just in terms of how the views have changed, how we've devalued strikeouts, things like I've got issues with that, but devaluing wins and losses for pitchers, I think, is the right way because so much is out of their control.
Yeah.
You know, we learned that with Felix firsthand throughout his entire career. You know, he should have had a million more wins than he had, but based on the lack of offense, he didn't get it. But it was an interesting outing in that it was he threw more pitches than he's ever thrown. He got the win. He only allowed one run. So you walk away going, great, great day for him. But and this is not to be negative. This is just anybody that watched the game. You saw the same thing. There was a lot of traffic on the base paths.
Yeah.
A lot of guys on, but he walked four. You threw 105 pitches in five innings. That's not efficient. That's
right.
That's not sustainable. You struck out seven. Awesome. You only allowed one run. Awesome. There were certainly is much more positive than negative. I just didn't walk away from it going, wow, that's a different version of Logan Gilbert.
Yeah.
I saw him show some heart when things did go wrong. As a young guy, he didn't cave. He didn't give in. With all the traffic, he was able to get himself out of some jams, and I thought that was awesome to see. But if you're just talking about how effective, was he sharp, was he dialed in, at moments, it wasn't a performance where I walked away and said, this kid's got it figured out.
Well, to me, it all boiled down to just that one at-bat. Two outs. Two on, and he faces Ohtani, and gets. I mean, that was an epic battle there. That I don't know how many pitches he threw in that. I know later Sewald got him with a 9-pitch at bat, but I'm trying to remember how many pitches. But I mean, it was.
Well, maybe it says it here in the play-by-play.
Let's hear.
Gilbert looks in, has the sign. Runners get their leads. They go 3-2 pitch slider. Swing and a miss for strike three. A slider down and in. Logan Gilbert striking out Shohei Ohtani. Strikeout number 5 for Gilbert, and he strikes out the side here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Holy smokes. What a performance by Logan Gilbert.
Yeah, 3-2 pitch. I don't know if he had fouled anything off there, but Ohtani is a very intimidating figure at the plate. And the pitch that he got him with was nasty. The Mariners tweeted out something that said it called it nasty or something, and it had a little emoji throwing up.
Oh,
that was kind of funny. But yeah, and then the look on his face, he wasn't like celebrating when he was walking to the dugout. It was like, man, I just went through something pretty massive there.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't want to get too dramatic about it being epic, but those are the kinds of things that give you confidence to keep building. And the thing that I've loved about him, Logan Gilbert, is that he has gotten better every outing.
Yep.
He's showed,
trending the right way.
Yeah, incremental you know, gains each time he's been out there. So, and, you know, we'd get a chance to talk to him. I think he's a great kid. But, yeah, there were some good things there, you know. You know, the other thing was Sewald. How about the, you know, he gets the out off the end of the bat of Fletcher. Mm-hmm. You know, he throws the ball up and it ends up going off the knob of the bat. And then he gets Ohtani in a 9-pitch at bat. So, yeah, they struck out Ohtani 7 times over the series, walked him 4 times. He had 2 hits. It was a home run and a double. But I thought that was that, along with JP hitting the ball hard over the weekend. I thought it was fantastic.
Yep, with Fraley chipping in and you know, yeah. So you had guys, you know, up and down the lineup doing things. But it was good in a sense, like I said, he wasn't efficient. He walked 4 guys. But I like seeing him get out of situations. That's huge.
Me too.
Just talking about, you know, the value in that moving on when he gets himself in another situation like that, which every pitcher does, he'll have that to reflect on and say, here's what I did last. I know I can get out of this. I've done it before. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I've talked about that with like a football team too. You know, you all of a sudden, you know, you win, you come from behind. It's like it's a recipe, you know. It's like a check you put in your back pocket. We know we can do this now. And for him, facing one of the most fearsome hitters in Major League Baseball, to, you know, get in that situation and come out the winner. I thought that was, if nothing else happened for him that night, that was the most important.
Well, the big news around the Mariners, Jared Kelnick sent down to AAA. Our Mariners insider Shannon Dreher will join us next to talk about that and everything else going on with the team. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Well, the big news around the Mariners, Jared Kelnick sent down to AAA Tacoma. Here to talk about that and everything else is our Mariners insider, Shannon Dreher, who joins us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. Hello, Shannon.
Hey, guys.
Well, that's the big news, although it's probably the least surprising news when you've got a guy who's 0 for his last 39 and batting under 100. My only question was, you know, maybe should it have happened a little bit sooner? What was your take on how this was handled?
Well, I think that they gave him every opportunity. And you know that this organization, it's obviously not all about the batting average and all of the raw numbers. It's about how they look at the plate. It's about the contact that they make. They very much recognize that batting average is reliant on luck. And so that's not reflective of necessarily where a player was. And I do think that early on, Kelnick was having good plate appearances and he was making good contact and he was making good swing decisions as well. But I think as we saw as time went on and as the game started to stack up where he was going hitless, I think you did start to see the plate appearances where he did look a little bit lost. And you did see plate appearances where it did not appear he was making adjustments to big league pitching, which he is seeing for the first time. And I'm not talking about the stuff. I think that you do see a lot of the stuff when you're in the minor leagues, but I'm talking about how they were pitching him. You know, it's much more advanced. It's much more. He made a comment about early on that the pitchers were nibbling on him around the edges. Well, that's how pitchers pitch in the big leagues. They don't throw it down the middle. You don't get as many mistakes. And I think he was having a hard time adjusting to that, perhaps in particular. So I think they took it as far as they could with him. I think you also probably got a little bit, concerned. He's very intense and they like that, but you saw how hard he took every strikeout. And I think that there comes a point when you look at it and say that this isn't getting any better. It's not helping the situation. You need to take a break. And now he's got the opportunity. He's seen it. There's nowhere else where he was going to get that experience. And now he has a chance to go and take what he has learned, get to work on it. And I have little doubt he'll be ready the next time he's called up.
Yeah, and, you know, Shannon, we've been talking to Mike Blowers about that. And, you know, there's been enough of, you know, talking about Mike Trout, how he started off. And you know, he said, look, most players get sent down a couple of times. I feel like that we have been watching this, I guess rightfully so, because he's been hyped up and everything. But, you know, we've been watching this so closely when really this is just part of a process that's, you know, could possibly take another couple months, if not the rest of the season.
Yeah, it could. And the Mariners are very sensitive to that. And one of the things that they wanted to see, and Jerry DePoto talked to him for 2 years about it. And there were certain things that he wanted him to experience in the minor leagues, and one of them was a struggle. And he never had that. They didn't know what he looked like when he struggled. Now they know what he looks like when he struggles. Unfortunately, it was at the big league level. So, you know, hopefully they can be a little bit more prepared to help in that regard. And if it takes a month, if it takes 2 months, if it takes another up and down, it takes another up and down. You saw a lot of people just kind of freaking out at the over and what the average was. And none of that matters if he gets to where he needs to be. You put all of that away once that happens, and everything that, you know, it's not cumulative for him. It's you've got to get him to a point, and then he takes off. Well, he didn't do it this time, so kind of clean slate the next time he comes up.
As far as his attitude goes, Shannon, there's a perception of him that he's arrogant. That, you know, we talk about his comments last year where he's saying, I know I could have helped that team for a fact. There's no doubt, you know, he was very adamant about what he could have done to help this team, and it was all in response to the Kevin Mather situation. And there's a certain segment of the fan base looking at this going, good. Good. You needed to be humbled. Kid's too arrogant. What's your perception of his confidence? He's clearly confident, but I've talked about he doesn't appear to have an attitude. There's a difference between a belief in yourself and an attitude of you can't tell me anything. I'm not listening to my hitting coaches. I'm not listening to my manager. I didn't get that vibe from him, but what do you make of his confidence and how he's perceived?
Well, the comments that he was better than anybody who was up, I didn't like that because he's kind of speaking against a teammate or a potential teammate in that regard, and I don't think he got that at that point. He's so young, you know, and he is his baseball experience has been his baseball experience. It's been different than most has, but I also don't think that was very much him. I think that was a little bit of young and brashness. I think the other confidence that for me, it comes from a place of wanting to win, and getting to talk to him and spend time with him in spring training was invaluable, and getting to understand that a lot better and seeing his interactions with his teammates. You know, he's that guy that when he's really going, he's going to be driving everybody else around him, and that's a good thing. So I'm not too concerned about if it's arrogance. I don't think for the most part it's a bad arrogance. And, you know, did he need to be humbled? I don't think so. I think he needed to see what he saw right now to realize that he didn't have all the answers for what was going on at the big league level. But, I mean, that's not, you know, that's not a huge sin right there. It is very different up here. So I don't think you want him losing that confidence. I don't think you really want him losing that bravado either. There will be a time and a place for it. And I think you just got a little bit of a lesson that, no, you don't know everything about what it looks like up here.
Hey, Shannon, on the other side, Logan Gilbert, we were just talking about him, just seems to get better every time. And, yeah, a lot of pitches for five innings, but I thought that battle that he had with Ohtani was pretty awesome. And talk about his development, and they've got to be pretty happy with him right now.
It's been great to see. I've enjoyed watching him. I've also enjoyed watching Justin Dunn. Justin Dunn kind of has the appearance of a first-year guy this year and the progression that you want to see him take. And Logan Gilbert has the appearance of a first-year kind of premium pitcher and the progression that you want to see them take. He's different level. And I think the first two outings when we saw him, and I've seen him for a couple of springs, and I've seen him throw bullpens and live batting practices and things like that. But the first two outings, and I've mentioned this before, my baseball clock, because of the urgency of this season and because of not having a full season last year, and that's my excuse, my baseball clock is totally off. So I panic a little bit more than I ever have in anything. But his first two outings, I was like, oh, no. You know, he's throwing strikes. They're all in the middle of the plate. The fastball's not doing much. The breaking pitches are okay. He's not throwing the changeup. He's not ready. But no, he was a young pitcher who had only made a couple of starts before that in his season. And now you're seeing him go, and now you're seeing what you heard about and saw glimpses of. And I think it's great that he went into last night, and the fastball, the location was better. We were seeing it play a little bit better up. We were seeing the slider. That was the best we saw that, which he needed because he didn't have his curveball, which is his pitch. And then the great thing to see was he threw that changeup for the first time. He threw eight of them, got three swing and misses on them, and that's the pitch that he's been working the last year. So he's not afraid to go out there to work his stuff, to use his stuff, and to learn and not to be, you know, to realize that he's got to go out there. It's not going to get better if he doesn't throw it. It's not an easy thing to do when you are playing for a big league team where the wins matter. And yeah, it took some pitches, but you also learned that he didn't give in. And it's been fun watching to see how Scott Servais handles him. Last two outings, he's given him one more inning where I wasn't sure that he was going to. He got up to 104 pitches last night, but I think it was the Ohtani at bat where they panned to the dugout, and when he got the strikeout, you saw Scott Servais give a little pump of the fist right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that wasn't so much for that one strikeout. It was like, yeah, this kid just took another step. He battled through that. It was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I agree. It was one of my favorite moments over the weekend.
Shannon, before we let you go, just a quick question. Is Evan White still with us? Is he is he still amongst the living? Where is he? I haven't heard a report, an update, or anything on this kid. What do we know about him?
I saw him a week ago, and we're not, unfortunately, they are holding graduations right now, and there's a podium and chairs set up on the field. So the away games, we normally would see the rehabbing guys working out on the field when the team was gone. Now we have to shut all the windows to close out the graduations. He is hitting. He's a little bit behind Dylan Moore, but I have seen him hit on the field. I think running is still a little bit of an issue for him. They are hoping that when the team gets back, he might be towards the end of the next homestand ready to – let me scratch that. When the team gets back, they are hoping he will be ready to be sent out on a rehab assignment. Dylan Moore is closer. I'm thinking we're probably going to hear about a rehab assignment for him in the next couple of days.
All right. Great stuff, Shannon. We appreciate it, and I'm sure we'll talk soon.
All right, guys.
All right, there you go. There's Shannon Dreher, our Mariners insider. The Mariners do lead MLB in one stat, and could that prove to be useful for the rest of the season? We'll talk about it next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Coming up at the top of the hour, the professor John Clayton will join us on the program, talk some NFL with him. So if you guys have questions for John, you can start texting those in right now to 710-710, the Mac and Jacks text line. It is time, though. It is time, Dave, for the Mariners breakthrough moment of the game powered by Fox Plumbing and Heating. And that would be the thing we were talking about earlier. Logan Gilbert, he was out there scuffling a bit with base runners, doing a great job limiting the damage, and then coming up against Shohei Ohtani, who's about as intimidating as it gets these days, his stature, what he's been able to produce, and it ended this way.
Gilbert looks in, has the sign. Runners get their leads. They go 3-2 pitch slider. Swing and a miss for strike three. A slider down and in. Logan Gilbert striking out Shohei Ohtani. Strikeout number 5 for Gilbert, and he strikes out the side here in the bottom of the fourth inning. Holy smokes, what a performance by Logan Gilbert.
Yeah, indeed it was. There you go. Mariners breakthrough moment of the game powered by Fox Plumbing and Heating. Were you guys cheering in the backyard with the dogs and everything? Is that what's going on?
This was yesterday, right?
What's that?
This happened yesterday, though. We were Saturday night.
Oh, it was just one day.
Over there. Yeah. But, okay. I'm just trying to get it straight. I was actually asking you the question. When did that happen? But, yeah. I really enjoyed watching the Mariners. I watched every pitch. I mean, it was just really fun to watch, and that stood out. And Shannon talked about it when we interviewed her just a few minutes ago about the fact that that just is a confidence builder for him, and he's had a lot of those moments, you know. And then again, I mean, it's not ideal to have 105 pitches in 5 innings, but he picks up his first win. He only gave up 2 hits, 1 earned run, only walked 4, 7 strikeouts. So, and yeah, Ohtani is really an intimidating character there. I mean, at the plate, you look at him, he just looks ready to hit. And, you know, I was trying to kind of explain, you know, to my wife about, because she doesn't watch a lot of baseball, but how pitchers are just very, you know, specific. They only do one thing. And here's a guy that is, you know, leads the league. Does he still lead the league in home runs?
No.
I know he's top 3.
No, I think it's Vlad Jr.
I bet you he's top 3, top 4. And, yeah, he's just, you know, plays in the outfield, and he's just a really fantastic player. My wife thought he looked like Elvis a little bit, a young Elvis Presley. But yeah, I mean, that moment right there. And, again, that's one of those moments that just as an athlete, I've talked about it before, that, you know, when you have one of those moments that you just pull the trigger, it works. It gives you confidence. You're not really sure why, and you may not even know at the time, but you might reflect back to that later that, yeah, that was kind of the point where I got my confidence. I remember a couple of plays my second year in the league, you know, coming into camp that I made. And, you know, and I remember Rusty, who was very critical, showing all the younger guys, this is how you're supposed to make this play. And just, it was just, it just clicked for me, you know, and I'm hoping that he continues to get these kinds of moments, but that's certainly one of them with, you know, facing him in that situation, two outs, two on. Yeah, he's able to get him with the, what was the slider, I guess, mm-hmm. down and in, and really fooled him badly because he was a long ways away from that pitch when he swung.
Yeah, they did a nice, overall, a nice job with Ohtani, period. You know, just Sheffield did it just throughout this series. I mean, he's formidable. He's a guy who's, he's got 16 home runs on the season. He's tied for fifth. Your leader is Vlad Jr. He's got 18. Jesse Winker and Fernando Tatis Jr. and Ronald Acuna Jr. all with 17 home runs. And then you've got Garcia out of Texas with 16, Ohtani with 16, and then you look down just a couple more names. Mitch Haniger tied for ninth with 14 home runs, tied with Aaron Judge, people like that. So good to see that. But yeah, I mean he's not hitting for great. He's hitting .256. Talking about Ohtani, but he's doing damage out there, and he's a threat, man. I mean he's got a good looking swing.
Yeah, I love watching.
It's just lefties. It's just a lefty thing. But he really does have a nice looking swing, and he doesn't look like he has to make, you know, brilliant. Like he's got to completely square the ball up. He looks like even if he just gets part of it, it's going out.
Yeah,
that's, he's got one of those kind of swings, and he's a big dude, 6'4". At least he's listed at 6'4", 220. Maybe he's a little heavier than that, but
he looks 6'6" to me. And,
yeah.
And the other thing
about 14 years old.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Also, it looks like 3/4 of his body is legs.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just got long legs, and it's that hip that, you know, the hip motion that he gets through, and it just, man, when he makes contact, it flies off the bat. So anyway, yeah, it's just, it was fun to watch him, and, you know, a good and really good to see Logan Gilbert able to get the better of him in that situation. And afterwards, you know, I just like the expression on his face. He walked to the mound like, or I'm sorry, to the dugout like, yeah, I did something that was very important, but it wasn't like he was celebrating or anything. He looked kind of stressed out a little bit. But those are the kind of moments that you can, like I said before, put in your back pocket and save for later and know that you can get that done.
Don't you feel like that's kind of his resting face? He kind of has a look on his face. He doesn't ever look happy.
Yeah.
Talking about Logan Gilbert. He looks kind of dour.
Yeah.
It's just kind of his face. I think that's just the look. He probably doesn't feel that way, but there's some people, their expression when they're not smiling or frowning, that's just...
Do you think he's like Quandre Diggs? He has a gloomy disposition? Quandre Diggs
and
told
really
us,
appreciates the weather here because
told
it fits
us the
his
weather
personality.
Yeah. It's like me, gloomy.
I'm kind of a gloomy guy, so I like this weather.
Yeah.
So good. Yeah, so it was good to see him. Again, 4 walks in 5 innings isn't great. 105 pitches in 5 innings certainly is not great, not what you want to see. But the fact that he threw 105, seeing what he was able to do, the strikeout numbers were great. And more importantly, just that adversity and coming through it,
yeah,
to me was the biggest takeaway. It wasn't, oh, he threw his 3rd and 4th pitch, which he did, and he was able to land that. Those are all big deals. But really being faced with a situation like that where, you know, we talked about Kikuchi earlier, that was the knock on him is, man, he – once things go bad, he can't turn it around. It's just, well, go watch film, and hopefully your next start you figure out what you did wrong because it's not getting fixed in this game. And so that's a guy with experience, a guy who's older, who's since turned that around this year, by the way, Kikuchi. But
yeah,
seeing Logan Gilbert get in that situation where we've seen veterans sort of crumble and see him come through the way he did was encouraging. That was almost as important as seeing him just blow through guys. And if it would have ended with, you know, 10 strikeouts through 6 innings and no runs, that would have been great. But there's a true value to watching him with all that traffic on the base paths, on the road, facing somebody like Ohtani and coming out of it, having given up one run. That's huge.
Well, and I'll tell you what, as far as developing young players, if you look at what's going on right now with Kelnick getting sent down, mm-hmm. that's just part of the drill.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think, you know, if you had to choose Kelnick getting sent down or, you know, Logan Gilbert failing and not, you know, making the progress that he's making, this is, to me, much more important.
Yeah.
His development is much more important than the fact that Kelnick is getting sent down because that's just part of the process, whereas this is really an awesome step forward for a guy. And it's, you know, look, the big league hitters will light you up and he's, you know, he's making steady progress.
All right, coming up, we'll talk football with a professor. If you guys have questions for John Clayton, text them in right now to 710-710. The Mac and Jack's text line is coming your way next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.